WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk.
This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
And good morning, Rutherford County. Absolutely beautiful day out today, but try not to stick your head outside when you're looking. And we want to let you know that Jim McGuire, who is our great baseball coach over at MTSU, will be on this morning. And this part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on and involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, 713-4639. And at homecaretennessee.com. That's on the internet, at homecaretennessee.com, 713-4639. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Truman. Appreciate you having me on this morning.
Oh, I'm tickled to death to have you on this morning. You know, it's that time of year when people start thinking about what's going to be coming up around here when it concerns the greatest game ever invented. And, of course, that we all know that's baseball. And it was, you know, they had to have a great bit of idea maybe about how things will grow in certain ways, because baseball is the only way, you know, 90-90-90, and then they got the pitcher's mound. None of that has changed over all these years. It's amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, from when the game started to today, I mean, all that part is still the same. And the best part is the uniqueness of all the ballparks, though, and the distance markers in the outfield and all that. That's what's made it, I guess, a little bit different than the other sports. That all the basic parts of it are the same, but the uniqueness of each park has kind of made it, whether it's a little league field or a college field or a big league field, they all have their little quirks and everything about it, and I think that's what makes it a neat game.
Nothing has the memories that baseball does. You think of, and you were mentioning the parks. You think of all the parks over the years that have been part of baseball, and they just seem to stand out. There's something special about them. When you walk into a ballpark, whether it's at the college level or at the professional level, there's something really, really interesting about each one of them that it stays with you.
It really does. I mean, the new parks all have they're a little bit more flash and glamour, I guess, about them, but there's nothing like if you get a chance to walk into Fenway Park or to Wrigley Field and you walk through and you see the grass and how it's cut and how green it is and manicured it is, and then the all the uniqueness part of the stadium and people that have played there, and then the new ballparks. I mean, you know, like in St. Louis, having grown up there in Old Busch Stadium, and you know, didn't have a whole lot of flair, but a lot of memories and stuff in that old ballpark. But the new ballpark gives you that, you know, that tradition is still there, but still gives you, you know, all the amenities that you want. And it's, I mean, that's the best part of baseball, is all those different things that you can feel as you walk into the park.
Well, when I was in Busch Stadium, my dad was the biggest Cardinal baseball fan ever. Stan Musial was held in such high esteem in our house. And I had the good fortune of being able to take my mom and my dad and my wife. We went up there to watch a game at Busch Stadium, and it was just awesome. I still have pictures of us standing there with our eyes bugged out, looking all around, and I'm sure my dad was recouping a lot of memories of what went on in that particular ballpark. So when you mention ballparks, it's special. Even Sulphurdale here, if you grew up in this area, we had the Nashville Vols back then and got to see a lot of great games. And it was not a cookie-cutter structure. I mean, they all, I guess they had to fit the needs of the area where they were going to build, but you're right. Fenway Park just really stands out as maybe one of the last few memories of old baseball. You still have the Chicago Cubs, of course, and you got Wrigley Field, but there's just something about Fenway Park, especially when you had, in that particular area, you had Boston, and of course you had the Braves
right.
at that time also, and then you had the Yankee Stadium, and then you had the Brooklyn Dodgers over at Ebbets Field, and then the Polo Grounds, you had the New York Giants.
Right.
It's amazing how much great baseball was just compressed right into that one area.
Yeah, and I think that's what I think that we're missing that a little bit now mm-hmm. with some of that, the older, you know, the traditional parks like that. Yeah. So hopefully places like Boston will keep Fenway Park, and I know Chicago will keep Wrigley Field and keep those traditions and those things alive of, you know, what's been going on for, you know, 100 years, yeah. you know, of baseball. And I've never had a chance to go to Fenway, and I'm hoping that Bryce Brents in the next year and a half, you know, stays with the Red Sox and makes it to the big leagues, because that's one of the first places I'm going when he gets called up, is get a chance to go to Fenway and see him play and really get a chance to see that ballpark.
Well, if you want to get over to Fenway Park, you need to get a hold of Coon Victory, because he takes the fam up there, his grandsons. I mean, that guy has been to every ballpark, but this is interesting, in his bedroom, his bed is in the middle of Fenway Park at home, because it is all around him in a painting that's structured with an actual ball game that would have been going on.
That's pretty
neat. Now that's pretty interesting.
That is pretty interesting. I know that. I know Coon loves the game, and he's been a lot of different places, and he's got everybody's hats too. He likes the hats part of it, and so do I. But he's been a big part of MTSU baseball too, and I'm happy he can do those types of things with his grandkids and his family.
Now, you're getting ready for baseball already, and here we are, 30 degrees, and there's just something that just doesn't seem right about that, because it's a warm-weather sport, and we were talking about that earlier. But anyway, one of your big promotions and getting people ready for baseball is always Groundhog Day, and I'm sure that it probably was brought up that hopefully the groundhog won't see his shadow and he's going to stay out there and he's going to stay warm for the rest of the night. Good luck to that, right?
Right, exactly. Everybody gets kind of lost in the fact that it is Groundhog Day, and he's supposed to predict what the weather's supposed to do, not just what our season's going to do or how that part is going to be. But we're hoping for some better weather. I mean, we've been out a lot. I mean, we've fought it a little bit a couple days, and we'll be back out there again today as long as that sun's shining and it's above freezing, you know, the wind will get you a little bit. We'll have a shorter workout today, but you've got to do it, because we're 2 weeks from tomorrow. We'll open the season up at home, and, you know, you got to get used to it, and you got to be out. And we've got a great indoor facility, but, you know, you don't want your pitchers throwing inside the whole time and not have thrown outside enough to get to that comfort level they have to be at to go. So it's not ideal weather, but you got to do what you got to do to get ready.
Well, I can't wait, to tell you the truth. And, you know, it was Steve Peterson the one that invented the groundhog type dreams and all the things that go with it? I mean, and another thing, you were with him just about the whole time. Did Steve Peterson ever predict correctly with his dream? Did he ever do that?
I thought he was right every single time. That's what I thought. I mean, everybody thinks he concocted all those stories, but those were real dreams. I mean, that stuff was really happening for him. So he was the one that got the dream part of it started, or the groundhog started it with him, I guess. But as we were getting ready to try to, you know, build our clubhouse and build our stadium and, you know, things like that. So the predictions on all that ended up true, because we ended up with a tremendous facility with our stadium and a very, very nice clubhouse and training center for our players and all that part of it. So the groundhog had a big part in that, but I don't think that all went all the way back to Coach Stanford. I wasn't here back then, but it was basically Coach Pete, you know, a little bit later on in his career.
Yeah, see, Coach Stanford would have probably had an old Louisiana crocodile out there, is my guess.
Yeah, I don't think this Groundhog Day luncheon was about six or eight people, guys hanging around. I don't think it was quite the elaborate thing it is right now as when he started it.
Now, of course, the luncheon is coming up on Groundhog Day. right?
No, the Groundhog Day is Saturday.
Oh, okay.
The second, so because it fell on a Saturday this year, and with basketball out of town, everything going on, we decided to talk to the groundhog and push it to Monday to make it a little bit more convenient for everybody else.
So that's this Monday coming up.
Right. Yeah, oh, right around the corner.
What time, if for people who do not have their tickets yet, what time should they show up so they can go ahead and receive their tickets and find their table?
Well, everything opens at 11:30. They'll open up, and it's in Murphy Center. Mm-hmm. Everything will open up at 11:30 to come in and eat. Some of the tables are going to be reserved for, you know, for some of our players. We're going to have our players involved in it a little bit more than we had before, and for some of our alumni and guests and stuff like that. But then the rest of the tables, if you haven't bought a table, then there'll be open seating in there as well. But if you purchase a table, you'll have a reserved, you know, on your particular table of where they want you to sit and go. So right now you can still get tickets at the ticket office. Everything now, we've kind of gotten a little more modernized with. You can order tickets online. You can go to GoBlueRaiders.com and go to the ticket office and order your tickets right there and pay for them and not even have to come on campus, you know, at that point. So it's a lot easier, or go to the ticket office on campus or, you know, 1-888-YES-MTSU. You can call and order them that way as well. So we're expecting a big turnout. I'm excited, anxious, you know, all those different things to do this. And I know now when Coach Pete would always tell me, you know, we can settle down after Groundhog Day is over. I never really totally got it for the last 20 years, but I'm getting it right now. I can tell you that for sure.
Well, you're the guest speaker.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the reason I'm ready for it to get to that point.
Are you ready for it?
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty rough crowd. It really is.
It is a pretty rough crowd. Chip Walters will be there to MC it and kind of be my backup with whatever I need and whatever I need to do. And I'm going to get my assistant coaches involved in helping introduce the pro players and do some of the things that I used to do where people get a chance to see and meet them as well, because they're both new and I want to get their face out there a little bit too, so everybody knows what's going on. So I've got a little bit of help as I go along. It's not just going to be – it's not a one-man show or a one-man band up there. I'll have people to help me.
You know, MTSU has a history of turning out pro players. And they not only turn out pro players, but you turn out really, really good citizens over there. You really do. I have never seen anything but top-grade talent that goes all the way through the gamut of what you want in your players. And that's something. How in the world is it? Is it because we're looking at baseball? Or is it because when you go out and recruit these guys, you want them to have baseball talent, but you also want them to be academic achievers and all the things that go with it.
Right. Those character issues are huge when you're recruiting a player. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying that anybody can go out and judge talent, but a lot of people can walk out and say, hey, that's the best guy on the field right
Jack
there.
Jack Jolly would argue with you about that.
Well, I can understand that. Jack's got a little keener eye than the rest of us do. But then once you see that player play, then you've got to find out a whole lot more about him. And that's what comes – that's why it's called recruiting. You know, you've got to talk to the high school coach, the summer league coach, people in the community, whatever, try to find out what you can about him. And, you know – what kind of character do they have? What kind of work ethic do they have? You know, are they going to go to class when they get here? And how are they going to handle it on a campus of 27,000 students where there is a lot of distractions and things going on? So though there's a lot of factors that go into it, but, you know, you try to recruit players that you think are going to, you know, fit what you want them to try to do. And I think that's what we've done over the years, and that's why I think we've had a lot of success in both areas you just said, both in developing them as a player, but then developing as, you know, as a person and be able to go out in the community and help them in the workforce and job place to get the right job or the right situation. And to me, that's just as fulfilling as a guy making to the big leagues is when somebody comes back that, you know, now they're married, got a couple of kids, you haven't seen them for a long time, but they're still trying to be involved and engaged in the program, and then they're successful in their life. And you know, in the end, I mean, we want to win as many games as we can, but that part's probably more important when it comes down to it at the end of the story.
Do you ever run into some of these prospective players for MTSU that you can tell they have a lot of raw talent, but they need to have some instructions included into their everyday training? How often do you see something out there that's, oh man, this guy has got to be something special if he will just listen to what we need to teach him?
Right, and you'll do that. We do that from time to time. You're going to take a chance sometimes and just say, I can. Back when I coached in junior college, I thought I could fix everybody. You know, I mean, you'd take all comers in those situations sometimes, and sometimes you could help fix them, and sometimes you couldn't. You know, but it's a challenge to do that sometimes. But sometimes you have to take that chance, or you're willing to take the chance and see, and you know, and we've done that a lot as well, and it's worked out. I mean, they've, you know, in the end, they've, whether it's a maturity thing or it's a physical thing or whatever they've got to do to become what you think they can be, it. You know, it takes some patience and some time, and sometimes they're a little bit more high maintenance, but that's part of it as well. You know, not everybody can be, you know, cookie cutter mold and everybody be exactly the same. And I tell everybody, we've had teams before that have gotten along great, that have really been good citizens or whatever, and haven't played very well or performed well. We've had other ones that fight all the time and don't get along, but they, when they get on the field, they were able to get it done. And you know, so it's all different gamuts of the sport, and especially when you're dealing with 30 or 35, you know, 18 to 22 year olds, you never know what you're going to get sometimes.
You know, we were so fortunate to have you here in Murfreesboro. In working with the program for a long time, working with Pete, you guys made a great duo. I mean, like Martin and Lewis. And
I thought you were going to say Abbott Costello or something. Costello. What you were going to say.
You really did. And you guys, you know, you've got such a gift with you. People like you automatically. When they come up to you, they really do. And Steve had that. And you know, MTSU has had such great success in baseball over the years. I mean, you're second to none. And I know that's going to continue with you. And I was so happy when they picked you as the next coach here, because you're part of the community and have always been. And you're one of the best baseball guys anywhere in the country. And with your experience and everything, you know, to me it was just an automatic. And I'm so tickled that you're there, and part of the community thing, of course, is you have to go to all these functions around here. You know, some of us have been through the tour, and you're going to be speaking at the Old Timers Baseball on the 11th, and it's going to be over here at Cannonsburg, and I think it's in the JC's building. I believe that's right.
Right.
But I can't wait for it, because it's going to be one of the more fun nights. When you get a bunch of baseball players together, especially as old as we are, and you start talking about old times, you know, we were invincible when we played. We were really, really good. So having you up there and share some of the accomplishments that you've been through and your experiences in baseball is going to be really special for us.
It will be for me as well. I mean, I've been going for a lot of years as well, kind of sitting in the back and listening and taking it all in, and now it, you know, and that's what's happened with all this. I basically have been on the tour. I've been to a lot of different places, a lot of high schools, a lot of events to speak, and that's great. That's part of it, where I can promote the program and talk about, you know, MTSU baseball and some of my experiences and things like that along the way. So it's you know, it's an honor to get to do that, and it's more of an honor to do it at the Old Timers. And it'll be a good group. I've known a lot of those guys a long time now. Some of them maybe not know me as well as I may know them from a distance, but it'll be a good night, and I really am, you know, happy and proud to be a part of it.
Is this area a strong breeding ground for baseball players? Because, you know, I was looking just the other day at some of the people who have won some of the biggest awards in baseball have come within about a 50-mile radius of this area. It's unbelievable that there's that much baseball talent here.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the whole Middle Tennessee area, but especially Murfreesboro, and I think it just keeps growing and growing and getting better and better. And I know it's a different look now with the, you know, the addition of Siegel and Blackman compared to the old days, which is Oakland and Riverdale at the high school level. But, you know, now with the new high school being built, you know, with Stewart's Creek, and, you know, it's going to be maybe a little bit more spread out, but there is a lot of talent. And I tell everybody all the time, it starts from the youth leagues on up. I mean, we're getting ready to do a, you know, a little coaches clinic for NBA the weekend after next, that, you know, where the coaches are really trying to learn, where they can teach the kids. And I just think that involvement, you know, through the coaches and the youth leagues and things like that, that gets it all started. And then as it carries into middle school, and the middle school programs are very good, and into the high schools, and then hopefully they want to stay in town and come to MTSU. But I know not every one of them wants to do that, but they should. Yeah, right. But even, you know, the Nashville area as well, and, you know, both Cy Young Award winners right here, you know, one from Murfreesboro and one from Nashville. It's I mean, it is unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if that's ever really happened before, but both great guys, and, you know, I know both of them not very real well, but I have met them and been around both of them. And, you know, it makes it an exciting time and makes people think about baseball more and more and the development, and I think younger kids, you know, to pursue that maybe a little bit more, whereas for a while it seemed like everybody wanted to play football or basketball or something else, you know, along the way. So I think baseball is still the prevalent sport.
That tickles me that you guys are going to be working with the coaches in the NBA, because my son is coached. I've helped him coach some. But to instill the things that they need to know correctly, I mean, as far as the players out there from their coaches, that's a big part of the program, and I am so glad. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with that particular subject again. We'll be back with Jim McGuire.
Aloha, this is Omni Hut.
Polly Walls at the Omni Hut restaurant. Polly, what's the most popular dinner?
The Tahitian feast. If you're not that hungry, a lot of times they'll just do the poo-poo platter of appetizers. Bora Bora, shrimp Panamanian, egg rolls, wontons, Tahitian tidbits, Polynesian pit ribs, crab rangoon, chicken on a stick.
Rediscover the Omni Hut.
Come see us at 618 South Lowry Street, just inside Smyrna, near Nissan.
Calling all runners and walkers. Grab your running shoes and join the Avenue Murfreesboro for the third annual Run United 5K Run and Walk on May 18th at 7 a.m. This year's event will feature a 5K run on a certified course, kids' fun run, refreshments, and a kids' zone. To register, visit active.com, and for questions, call 615-893-7303. Early registration ends May 1st. After May 1st, participants will not receive a t-shirt. All proceeds from the race benefit the United Way of Rutherford and Cannon Counties.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
Support your Blue Raiders as they compete for back-to-back Sun Belt Conference titles. Men's and women's basketball combo season tickets are on sale now and start as low as $199. Don't miss a single three-pointer. Score a slam dunk with season tickets today.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
It's now time for the Educator of the Month to be announced. Our newest Educator of the Month is Lamar Davis, an Algebra 2 and Geometry teacher at Riverdale. What made you decide to become an educator?
I was going to be a computer programmer, imagine that. But I wanted to coach sports and I wanted to teach math, and so that's how I ended up being a math teacher.
What do you enjoy most about working with students?
Trying to make a difference in young people's lives. Seeing a child, especially one that has not done well, reach higher goals that they've never reached before.
What achievements are you most proud of?
My three children.
What do you hope to accomplish before you retire?
I don't know, just continue to try to make a difference in every person that comes in my classroom's life and try to make them understand that it's not all about making grades, it's about learning and trying to grow and become a better person.
The Educator of the Month is brought to you by Toots, Good Food and Fun, Claiborne and Taylor Insurance, and City Tile and Floor Covering. Again, our Educator of the Month is Lamar Davis at Riverdale. Here's Frank LaPetrie, pastor of Holly Grove Baptist Church.
I would like to extend a special invitation for you to come worship with us. We are an old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing Southern Baptist church, teaching Christ Jesus is the Lord and a sinful man's only hope.
Worship with the family of Holly Grove Baptist Church. Sunday school begins at 9:45 a.m. and worship services at 11. Join us Wednesday nights at 7.
We have a great youth program and Sunday school classes for all age groups.
Holly Grove Baptist Church is on Holly Grove Road. Turn right off Highway 231 past Walter Hill School onto Holly Grove Road.
We're about 3 miles on the left. I promise you, you will find a warm welcome inside. Find out more at hollygrovebaptist.com or by calling 896-5282.
Holly Grove Baptist Church, reaching out to offer hope.
Don't miss our services here on WGNS each Sunday at noon. I'm Frank LaPetrie, and may the Lord bless you.
Weather Eye.
Well, partly sunny skies for the forecast area today with a high in the low 40s, a west wind between 10 and 20 miles per hour, gusting in the 30s. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Theluber. Right now, 34.
Our WGNS good neighbor of the day today, Nora Waters, receiving flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts. And also, congratulations to our birthday cake winner, Joyce Brannon, receiving the cake from Junior's Foodland.
That update brought to you by Bosch Appliances. Bosch Appliances are ranked highest in customer satisfaction with dishwashers by J.D. Power & Associates. Find great deals on ultra-quiet Bosch dishwashers at your local Bosch dealer. J.D. Power & Associates 2012 Kitchen Appliance Satisfaction Study.
The Truman Show now continues on the voice of Rutherford County, WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Coach Jim McGuire, MTSU Baseball. And this part of his show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turned off broad between Chewy's and Chili's on to Ridgely Road. And we're talking about you guys having clinics for the coaches. You know, that is absolutely the best thing. I really would like to see that even more with the kids, because they're the ones that can relate it, and they're the ones that the kids are going to be with all the time.
Right. I think so. I mean, I think, you know, we have camps and stuff all the time for the younger kids,
right.
And we spend a lot of time with them and coach them and really feel like over a week's time they get better. But, you know, if we can relate all that to the coaches and everybody's on the same page and everybody understands what's going on, but sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes they leave camp and they go back and they're kind of taught something differently or a different way to do it. So I really like this part. We've been doing it the last couple of years, and we're always open to things like that. We have the whole coaching staff involved, and, you know, we go over all the different, just the fundamentals of hitting, even as basic as throwing, and with the older players pitching, you know, base running. I mean, we do a little bit of everything, every fundamental that's there, and do it a short amount of time. I mean, they're not there a long time, but I think it's good for the coaches, and it's good for us too. You know, it's just another thing that I think can help develop baseball in Murfreesboro and, you know, help us all down the line.
Now, when you're talking to a prospective player coming to MTSU, what are the biggest selling points that you've got here? I know we have a great community, great stadium. Do we have the numbers to put in the stands that we should? And I know for a fact we should be, all of us, including me, should be supporting MTSU baseball more, because it is one of the greatest things that we've got right here in our community for entertainment. I mean, good old-fashioned entertainment. Be with the family, be with the kids. Let them see what the greatest game is all about. And we should be filling that stadium, which to me is a tremendous draw here.
Right. I think it is. I think the stadium is one of the great selling points that we do have, but you want to see it full. When a recruit comes here, you want to be able to tell them attendance numbers. And, you know, we're trying a lot of new things, you know, with some marketing and promotions and things like that, that, you know, Justin Jones, one of our former players, he is the marketing intern and helps with tickets or whatever for baseball. And he's headed up a lot of different ideas and different things that we're going to put, you know, put into effect and put into play. Mm-hmm. They'll hopefully help that a little bit. Really, really trying to get the community, you know, more involved and more engaged to what we're doing baseball wise. And if everybody was at the Western Kentucky games over the weekend, both for the men and the women, both, I mean, just great atmospheres. And, you know, and I know they're both, you know, both having great years and good teams and things like that. And, you know, and it's a little different in baseball. You got 32 home games, so you got a lot of them. And some of the weather may not be the greatest at the beginning, but we still want to get people out there. You know, some people may not even seen the stadium or been in there or been around it. And that's what we've got to do. We got to target a lot of those people. We're always going to have our loyal fans that are out there all the time, and our parents and things like that. But that's a big thing. We need to get more people in the stadium and get them more involved, and, you know, and try to create an atmosphere that makes that a big selling point, not just having a nice stadium.
Yeah, that's one thing. When you recruit local guys within, say, a 100-mile radius around here, you will get their families over here to watch them play, because they've been watching them ever since they were in T-ball, probably.
Right.
And a lot of them have coached their kids.
Right, and they do. They follow them all the way through, and it's amazing, even when they get to college at our level. I mean, how many parents still end up scheduling all their vacations around where we're playing and what we're doing and things like that. But we do. We host a lot of events on our field, you know, in the summer. We know, you know, the state tournament, the state championship games are there, so that always gives them a great feel when they leave. But from showcases to camps to tournaments to things that we run in the summer, you know, we have a lot of players come through there that actually get to play on the field, not necessarily just see it from a distance like they would on a visit when they're coming. And I think that opens up a lot for us as well.
Now, when we watch them this year, what are we going to be looking for? Where do you think your strengths are in this year's team?
Well, I mean, I still believe, and I know everybody will think I'm talking backwards because it really hasn't been, but the depth of our pitching staff I really think can be our strength. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to throw strikes. We've got to be more consistent, but they're very, very talented. It's an older group, you know, that we're really counting on to really be the what we're going to hang our hat on. And, you know, Hunter Atkins was an 18th round draft pick last year, but turned it down to come back to school.
Well, that says something, right?
So that
there.
I mean, I think that means a lot. It means a lot to the program. He's only the second one since I've been there that has ever done that. That's turned the draft down to come back. And then Jonathan Freebus, who's from right here in Murfreesboro, played at Riverdale, and you know, freshman All-American. And you know, with those two, and then you know, with a couple guys that you know that we've added to go along with the guys we've had coming out of the bullpen, and who's going to establish himself as the other starter, our starters with the middle of the week, you know, there's a lot of competition right there, and I'm hoping that that's how it evolves, and then that part will be. It's just the consistency part. The depth is there, the strength is there. They just got to get more consistent, you know. And I think we'll be solid again defensively. But the middle of our line will be something to look at to, you know, they'll have to hit. I mean, we've got to have, you know, Trent Miller was an all-region player last year, hit 13 home runs, and he'll be back in the middle. And I think his presence and Hank LaRue, even though he's coming off of a major injury, he'll still be in the lineup. And those two have to be kind of the catalyst for our offense to get it all going. But kind of in that order is how I see it kind of unfolding. And hopefully that the pitching staff, if you get good pitching, and you're going to be in every game, and you're going to have an opportunity to have a good year.
Well, we all remember Murder's Row with the Yankees back in the 20s, and it seemed like they were unstoppable. But you know better than anybody else that everything revolves around pitching and defense. If you've got those, you've got a good chance to win most games.
Yeah, you do. And if you can't, even in college baseball, you can't outslug anybody anymore with this new bat. So you've got to be able to pitch it, and you got to be able to catch it. I mean, if you can do those two things, what you just mentioned, you're gonna be in pretty much every game. Mm-hmm. You know, in 2009, you know, we pitched pretty well, but that was about our version of Murderer's Row. I mean, with Bryce hitting 28 home runs and all the power with Raleigh Bishop and Nathan Hines and people like that around him, you know, we created a lot of havoc, you know, offensively. But this has got to be a different type team. We do have some speed at the top of the lineup, and when we get to the 7 or 8 hole, we'll have some guys that can run there as well. So we'll try to maybe make some things happen a little bit more, but it all revolves on what goes on that mound, and that's what it's going to be for us, and it's going to be kind of our make or break point if we're going to be. I mean, we could still be a good team, but we've got a chance to be very good if those guys can come through like we think they can.
You know, if you've got some recruits out there, and let's talk about pitching a little bit, and everybody just seems to be enthralled with the speed of the ball. If they say if you can't throw at least in the 90s, you're not going to be a good college player, a good pro player. That's not exactly true, is it?
It's definitely not true. I mean, some of the better pitchers on our team and in our conference both, I mean, are guys that are throwing, you know, 85 to 87, some 85, 86, but they can really locate and move the ball around and change speeds and just keep you off balance, and that's what it's all about. And we always have used this adage for years, you can't throw hard enough. I mean, because even the guys in the big leagues that throw 100, they're still going to get hit once the hitter sees them enough time and can kind of identify what they're going to throw. And, you know, so our arm strength is important. You can get away with some things sometimes a little bit more because, you know, your arm strength allows you to do it. But the pitchability guys that can go out there, you know, the old Greg Maddux type guys or Tom Glavine that are not throwing 95 miles an hour, but they know how to move it and sink it and run it and do all those types of things. And And we've got guys that are starting to do that, like Jonathan Freebus, who's got a great arm, who I think is going to have a pro career before it's over. Good. I watched him throw the other day, and, I mean, he's got more sink on the ball now and movement, but he's still maintaining his velocity. And that's the difference when you can start to do that, where you're not just relying on rear back and throw as hard as you can. But, you know, the better guys, the better pitchers, that's why they call them pitchers. They're not throwers, are those guys that can change speeds and do those things.
You know, you get a guy that is throwing 95 on up. Is it hard to teach him that you're not going to strike out everybody with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, that it's sooner or later these players are going to be able to time and put it out of there? Mr. Greg Tucker just walked in. Jim McGuire, Coach Jim McGuire, Greg Tucker. He's one of our leading historians, if not the leading historian in his community.
I learned that you had never read Louis L'Amour's detective stories.
I have not.
You know, he didn't write only Western stuff.
So you brought me one, right?
I brought you one.
Okay.
And speaking of Western stuff, I just drove in Woodbury Pike, past Bud's Tire.
Yes.
And there was a horse tied out front.
Yes. That horse every day going up and down Woodbury Highway.
I stopped and went in and asked him if he put rubber on those. And he says, no, we just do alignments for them.
Thanks, Greg. What was I talking about?
Get a little off track.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about a fastball.
Oh, right.
And the guy that is used to striking everybody out, all the way from Little League on up through Babe Ruth League and all that, and he gets to college level, he still thinks he's going to be able to strike everybody out. How do you get into his head that all the things that you can do with a baseball that may take you to another level into the pros?
Well, when they first get there, you're going to have to let them get hit around a little bit, because they're not going to believe you, because they have always thrown it by everybody, and they have struck everybody out, especially sometimes if they've been at a smaller high school where they've just ridiculous numbers that they put up, and it's because just arm strength alone, you know, that they've got to fail a little bit and then understand. And they do that in the fall, because, you have some older hitters that can time them up and understand what they're trying to do. And then once you get to that point with them, then you can start, hey, you've got to become a pitcher now, not just a thrower. And it's not about just how hard you can throw, but, you know, can you throw this one 95, or can you throw the next one 91, or can you throw it 90? Can you back off it a little bit to create some difference for the hitter and keep them off balance? And that's what you have to teach them, along with what their breaking pitches or what you're going to do with them off speed-wise or whatever, too. And we have a lot of times, we have guys that come in that are just, we call them raw arm strength guys. They just have a good arm and a good body, but they got to develop everything else, and you just got to keep pounding it into their head. And then sometimes it takes them failing, like I said, or getting hit before they realize what they have to do. But eventually the good ones, they figure it out, and they develop the other pitches to go along with it, and then they become a quality, you know, quality pitcher for you, and then can also play at the next level because they have the arm strength to go along with it.
There's no doubt in my mind that we're going to be successful this year. Now, the change of conferences, how is that going to affect you?
Well, the biggest jump and change will be next year, because we're jumping in right away, and Tulane and East Carolina will still both be in the league next year. So it'll be as good a league. It'll be a top five league in the country, no question, with all the teams. With Tulane and East Carolina still being in there, you know, and then you take Rice and Southern Miss, and you know, those teams have been to the World Series. Rice has won a national championship. Mm-hmm. And then with Florida Atlantic and Florida International coming in with us, you know, it'll be right up there near the top. And it'll be I'll call it a power baseball conference. Right. And when we lose those two teams the year after that, you know, you don't know who could still be added or what could happen after they leave. But it's still going to be a very competitive and very good league. It's going to be a little bit more travel, a little bit farther. We're not going to play divisions in baseball. But you'll have to, next year, you'll have to skip two teams that you will not play, and we'll still play 10 weekends like we do now in the Sun Belt, but two teams you won't get to play, and it's just going to be a random rotation of who you don't play the first year, and then it'll adjust back again the following year. So there's some uncertainty about it as far as who you're going to play and when and things like that, but it's exciting, you know, to go to new places and you know, I love the Sun Belt. It's really been good. I really enjoy the coaches and the competition, everything there. But I think it will be a step up, and it'll be a step up that we have to make with it, you know, to go along with it. But facility-wise and everything that we've had that Chris Massaro has, and Dr. McPhee has put us in position to where we can go in right away, I feel like, in baseball and compete at a high level, you know, even though everybody looks like it's a step up, you know, going into Conference USA, which it will be, but we're very fortunate to be in that situation.
Is it going to be – would you view it at being as a tougher league to play in? And one thing, when you have teams that come here, which teams are the more attractive type teams to actually draw crowds? Would it be local teams like Tennessee and Vanderbilt, and because they have followers that will come here right. also? What do you look for when you're scheduling teams like that?
Yeah, I mean, you try to do that. You know, anytime you can bring a Tennessee or a Vanderbilt or anybody in the SEC or possibly the ACC that's a recognizable, you know, name and that comes from a, you know, again, the power conference type deal, I think that's important. But, you know, I have looked at, I mean, we've got, you know, the year after next, we've got Purdue coming, you know, so somebody from the Big Ten, we've got Northwestern on the schedule. You know, trying to do some things like that. Kent State, who just went to the World Series, yep. we'll play them in 2014. They'll wow. come here. So, you know, just some things like that to try to, your non-conference schedule, try to beef it up a little bit. And then as everybody gets accustomed to Conference USA, once we get in there and they see what Rice and Southern Miss and UAB and, you know, Old Dominion and some of these teams bring to the table, I think it will add a lot more to it. But like you said, I mean, you're not going to get much of a following from those teams that come as you do, you know, when Tennessee and Vanderbilt come here. That's two of our biggest draws all the time. It doesn't really matter who we're playing on the weekend. And I've got those scheduled out for the next few years. So we're going to keep those series going both home and away with them. And then this year, the second weekend, we go to Auburn for a tournament. So on this year's schedule, we'll actually play five games against the SEC. So those are important, you know, RPI games and trying to help yourself for hopefully down the line, if you don't win the tournament, you know, that you can get an at-large bid into a regional.
Will we ever see the wooden bat come back to baseball? And I hear somebody hollering already in the back. But I want that bat back. I want the ash back or bat back. There's just something about, maybe it's ingrained in me, that we've always played with wooden bats, and I love the sound of a bat when that ball hits the sweet spot. I mean, only a player that's played a long time can understand what that is. But it's special. When it hits a sweet spot on that aluminum bat, and ping, you know, I mean, it's just not the same.
Right.
I was telling you earlier before we went on the air, I used to listen to the old Yankee ball games when Mel Allen was calling them, and when I could actually hear the sound of the bat and the ball meeting when it would hit, have that special sound. Will we ever see it? And I'd probably not. you know, they say, well, you know, cost and all that other stuff. My goodness.
Yeah,
cost of an aluminum bat, if you want a good one.
Yeah, they're $300 now or more.
Yeah,
some
yeah.
of them are. So they are very expensive, but they do last, and that's what the difference is. But me personally, I'd love to see it as well, but I don't think it's ever going to happen. I think the trickle down effect from, you know, what kind of wood you would get at the college level compared to what the wood at the major league level, and then it trickles to the minor leagues, and then all of our guys go off and play in summer collegiate leagues, and they're all wood bat leagues, and they're always jockeying for bats, trying to find something a little bit better that's going to hold up a little bit more, and these other bat companies, you know, that don't make wood bats, that are, you know, I think they're going to always drive the market and try to keep it right there. But I think now, you know, with the decrease, I guess, in the new aluminum bat would be the best way to put it, where the ball doesn't come off the bat more. It has, you know, I went to some high school games last year that lasted, you know, like an hour and 5 minutes and seven innings, you know, and I don't know if that's really good for the game or not, that, you know, baseball's not really supposed to be played, you know, every day 1-0 or 2-1. You know, for a pitching purist, it is good, but the new bat has made a big, big difference. And even to a point in college baseball at our convention, they want to go leave the bat but then go to a livelier ball. Like they, you know, in the big leagues the one year they said the ball was a lot more lively, you know, decrease the seams on the ball where the pitcher can't throw as good a breaking ball, and then the ball be a little bit more lively to get the offense back going a little bit more. So there's a big debate over all that, but I think right now the bat's here to stay.
Well, as a purist, I am extremely unhappy. And when you mess with baseball, It doesn't matter where you've got a ball that's not as lively as it used to be, or a bat that is more lively. I mean, when they keep messing around, as we know, baseball is a game of statistics and all the other things. And when people start putting things in their muscles that are not spinach oriented and things like that, it makes things a lot different. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Coach Jim McGuire.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
With million-dollar lawsuits and drastic increases in court costs, are you adequately insured? We can remove the fear of an unforeseen lawsuit with an umbrella liability policy from Auto Owners Insurance. We'll recommend personal and business protection that meets today's needs. I'm Doran Claiborne with Claiborne & Taylor Insurance. Come by our office at 319 West McKnight Drive or give us a call at 893-5064. Ask us about no problem protection through Auto Owners.
You can depend on Claiborne & Taylor.
Some of the best food in town is at Stones River Mount.
I like the lunch meal. Today we're having chicken, and I like baked chicken better than fried chicken. I love to play the piano for people. They enjoy the music, and I enjoy all the entertainment that goes on in the manor.
Everyone loves Stones River Manor. Stop by for a tour.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Coach Jim McGuire. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Charlie Pitts Hairstyling on Las Casas Pike. Providing quality haircuts, styling for men, guitar lessons, women and children also. Call 895-3997. That's Charlie Pitts Hairstyling. When you go in, it's not just a hairstyle, it's an experience. Well, Jim, you know, we haven't talked a whole lot about the Groundhog Day, but it is going to be this Monday. And you need to get there about what?
About 11:15. Everybody starts lining up and opens the doors shortly after that. So, and you'll come down the ramp at Murphy Center, and it's going to be on the main floor like it's been the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll, you know, there's still tickets that are available. You can still get them, like I mentioned before, online or go to the ticket office and pick them up. But, you know, again, expecting a big crowd and hope everybody will come out and support us and help get the season kicked off.
Now, it's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to have a lot of events going on there, a lot of different things that are happening. Are you going to do a dream, or what are we going to? Or is this a secret?
This is a secret. I can't. I can't tell you the part. The ground. There is going to be some involvement with the groundhog, mm-hmm. but I can't. It is a secret at this point. I know Greg Pogue did a little story, or his take on it today, and talked to Coach Pete as well. And you know, the groundhog, like all of it, he was pretty confused with everything that was going on there for a while, whether Pete was really here or gone, or what he was going to do. So that's all I can tell you right now. There's some
found
confusion.
Out you were going to be on my show today. That's what he did.
He probably did. He tried to try to beat you to
you
the punch.
You read it first, and whatever he was writing.
He did a
at
column
the
in the paper today. Yeah, he sure did.
So, all right. So now we've whetted the interest of everybody that's going to come to the Groundhog, and hopefully it'll be probably have more tickets than what you need. Or less tickets than what you need. In fact, that's probably what's going to be, less tickets, because the place is going to be full. I have been to a number of them, and it's always a great event, and you get to see a lot of people you haven't seen in a long time. And it's not only just something that promotes the baseball, but actually it's a social event.
It is very much a social event, and you know, it's been going on for years. The 21 years that I've been here, it's been a big, big event. I know it didn't start that way originally, but mm-hmm. but it is. I mean, it's a great community involvement event, which we, you know, trying to get them involved in baseball, it all kind of intertwines together. And you know, we're going to have a lot more of our alumni will be there than has been there in the past, and I think that's important. And then again, I mentioned, you know, having our team involved to a point with it. So I think it's a good way to mix and mingle and kind of bring it all together in one place and mm-hmm. and really going to be pushing the season tickets and getting people out. And, you know, a $60 family pass for a family of four for 32 home games is pretty cheap. It's a pretty cheap date day or night, whichever way that it ends up going. So we're going to have a lot of different ticket packages available when you're there as well.
Do you get the hot dogs and Cokes thrown in with
No, you don't get them thrown in. No, I'm not going. We're not going that. It's a good enough deal
by
itself.
We're talking about less than 50 cents a ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
that's the cheapest entertainment I've ever heard of. and at that level, too, they're seeing baseball at an extremely high level.
Right, exactly. And seeing, you know, great teams and great programs coming in here as well on our home schedule. And, mm-hmm. you know, Kennesaw State, that not a lot of people know about, will be coming in on a weekend. Xavier from Cincinnati will be in on a weekend. Ball State, who we open up with, and then Tennessee and Vanderbilt are all included in that. And mm-hmm. and I just think there's some, you know, a lot of entertainment for the, not even for the buck, but for the coin, I guess, to be able to come out and see that for that price, I think is unbelievable.
And you took a step beyond when you decided that you would agree to speak to the old timers on the 11th of February, and it's a JC's. And do you have your subject matter ready for that yet?
Well, I've got a variety of subjects to talk about a little bit that night. One, I'm always promoting the program. That's the first thing I'm doing. But Jack Jolly will be involved in a couple of the topics that we need to discuss that night. So it'll be a good time, and looking forward to that one as well.
Will you be saying anything about lying and maybe promoting oneself more than they really should?
Yeah,
I think that would be a lesson for all of us.
That would be exactly right. I think that might be a good subject, or a good part of the subject to talk about anyway.
Jim, it's always good to be with you. You're one of the nicest people I know, and I know that you're going to keep taking MTSU to a high level, just as Steve Peterson did. And actually, I expect you to do better. I expect us to have national championship banners right here in our Major League Stadium, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Well, don't put any pressure on me, Truman, or anything. I got enough going on. I'm trying to make it through Groundhog Day, and you want me to win a national championship. But no, we are. I appreciate you saying that, and I really enjoy being on and love to be on anytime. And we're going to keep pushing it forward. And again, someday, Coach Pete always said it, and I truly believe it too, someday this program will be in Omaha, and, you know, hopefully it'll be here, you know, during my time, and it'll be here soon.
And you know, when you get to Omaha, you'll have a lot of people there supporting you. There's something about MTSU fans, they travel. When you're winning, they travel. Well, that's better than not winning, than you travel. We don't want to talk about that. We'll see you guys in the morning at 9 o'clock. We're going to have another great show.